Magandang gabi ho sa inyong lahat and welcome sa gathering ng Crossroads Church of Dubai. Ako po si Pastor Alvin, naglilingkod bilang isa sa mga elders po ng iglesyang ito. Isa pong paalaala, meron po tayong conference next week and that will be next Saturday at 9 o'clock magsisimula maaga. So if you want to come there, enjoy fellowship, para hindi rin siksikan sa registration, come there at 8:30. We are nearing the end of our sermon series dito sa 1 Timothy, the Apostle's Letter to Pastor Timothy at sa Church ng Ephesus. For the past 11 weeks, nakita po natin kung anong itsura ng isang healthy church or isang healthy local church. A church that is centered sa gospel, where it preaches the right gospel. Praise for the salvation of the nations. A church where men and women biblically behave in corporate worship. Where biblical qualified pastors and deacons are in office. A church that combats false teaching. And a church that relates to one another like family. And honors widows and the vulnerable. Itong tipong gospel relationships na ito ay ang tipong relationships na mapapansin po ng mundo at mabibigyan ng kapapurihan ng Panginoon. Where family members love, care, and honor one another. So tonight, Paul once again instructs itong iglesia na ito, itong church family na ito, to honor once again two authorities sa kanilang buhay. Una ay yung pastor, at ang pangalawa ay yung kanilang mga employers. So ang point natin ngayong gabi is this, a gospel-shaped church honors elders and employers for the glory of God's name. A gospel-shaped church honors elders and employers for the glory of God's name. Dalawang point po muli tayo ngayong gabi. Number one, honor elders. Chapter 5, verse 17 hanggang 25. And number 2, honor employers. Chapter 6, verse 1 hanggang 2. Number 1, honor elders. Kung mapapansin natin sa letter ni Paul kay Timothy, pabalik-balik siya sa topic ng elders or pastors. Sa chapter 3, pinaliwanag niya kung ano ang qualifications ng pastors or elders. Tapos pagdating naman sa chapter 4, pinalahanan niya si Timothy at yung mga elders to pay close attention sa kanilang life at saka doctrine. Ngayon naman dito sa chapter 5, nagbigay siya ng instructions on how to treat ang mga pastors or elders. At ang dahilan kung bakit niya madalas balikan ang topic na ito, kasi ito ang isa sa mga issues na kinaharap ng iglesyang ito. They have issues with men who are teaching, men who are issues, we are false teachers, na kung saan who wants to be elders, and some of them probably are elders. Nalihis sila sa maling doktrina at started teaching itong mga false gospels na ito, and eventually started living a life na kung saan hindi ayon sa salita ho ng Diyos. They also love mga kung ano-ano mga controversies na kinakalat nila sa church. Kaya sa chapter 1, verse 20, makikita natin na si Paul mentions these men, mention men na kung saan dinisipline nila or inexcommunicate sa kanilang church. Ang pangalan nila ay si Hymenaeus at saka si Alexandra. So Paul now gives instructions sa kanila kung paano i-address ang issues pagdating po sa pastors and elders. He addressed it in three areas, which is ito yung tatlo sub-points sa akin, point number one. First of all, provide for them, provide for, protect, and appoint faithful pastors. Provide for, protect, and appoint faithful pastors. Ito ang tatlong sub-points natin ngayong gabi. First of all, provide for faithful pastors. Provide for faithful pastors. Makita po natin yan sa verse 17. Basahin po natin. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. As mentioned, elders here throughout sa ating pag-aaral ng letter na ito and what we believe the Bible teaches, elders at saka pastors and overseers are synonymous terms na kung saan ibig sabihin ay pastors. Paul instructs the church to honor faithful pastors. Pastors who rule well or lead the church well in directing ang mga affairs ng iglesia. Sila ang mga spiritual leaders who provide godly leadership, direction, counsel, and care sa mga members ng church. Qualified men who work hard to preach and teach biblical doctrine, oppose false teachings, pray for the advancement of the gospel, and warn false teachers. Pastors who practice what they preach. Ito ang ibig sabihin ni Paul when he says, who rule well. Now, may mga churches na naniniwala na ang verse daw na ito talks about two classes or kinds of elders, which is ruling elder at saka teaching elder. Na ang mga ruling elder daw ay concerned sa pag-lead or pag-govern ng mga spiritual matters ng church. Samantala ang mga teaching elders naman only focuses on preaching and teaching and instructing God's people sa kanyang salita. Now, hindi ako ganong ka-convince sa view na ito. Dahil sa chapter 3, kung ba magbabalik-aral po tayo, isa sa mga qualifications ng elders ay able to teach, which is chapter 3, verse 3. This means ang primary responsibility or focus ng pastor or elder is able to teach or preach God's word to his people. Ito ang tinutumpok ni Paul throughout sa letter ng 1 Timothy. Dahil may mga unqualified teachers, may mga unqualified elders who are teaching sa loob ng iglesyang ito. Hindi lamang yon, ang authority ng isang pastor ay derived from God's Word. Let me say that again. Ang authority po ng pastor ay derived from God's Word. Mapa ito po'y preaching, discipling, counseling, one-to-one conversations. Siya po ay man na kung saan nakabase sa salita ng Diyos. Now, just to give us a side note, walang absolute authority ang mga pastor. Wala pong absolute authority ang mga pastor kasi they or we are under the authority of God and His Word. Kaya kapag ang pastor ay lumihis sa pagturo o pag-practice ng salita ng Diyos, he abandons ang kanyang God-given authority. At kung mangyari ito, ang kanyang authority to preach and shepherd God's people ay na-compromise na. At dapat lang hindi siya pakinggan ng kongregasyon. Paul instructs the church na dapat ang mga faithful pastors bigyan ng double honor. Double honor. Now, alam ko po, itong passage na ito ay madalas misused and abused ng many mga pastors, and they try to bend itong passage na to towards sa kanilang mga kagustuhan. At minsan sinasamahan pa nila ng 1 Samuel chapter 24 at Psalm 105 na you must not touch God's anointed. Na ano ibig sabihin ng double honor? Well, it means two things. One, financial remuneration. At number two, respect. Unang-una, financial remuneration. Ang biblical word na honor ay madalas gamitin to refer to as stipend or allowance o sweldo. Dito po nanggagaling ang salitang honorarium na madalas pong binibigay as a gift sa mga guest preachers kapag ito po ay bumibisita o may special occasion na we invite mga guest pastors. Ito ay the same word na ginamit sa widow sa chapter 5, verse 3. Which means to financially provide for her. Yun yung inaral po natin last week. So Paul is instructing ang church na to financially provide for their pastors dahil meron silang mga families na kinakailangan na pangalagaan. And part ng kailangan gawin or qualification ng isang elder is to care for their pastors or for their families well. Maraming salamat, kapatid. Amen. Mauhawin po ako ngayong gabi, kaya paumanhin. Anong meaning ng salitang honor? Ano pa? Is second, respect. Respect. Ang nasa isipan marahil ni Paul dito is that members would show love, appreciation, and gratitude sa isang tapat at masipag na pastor. Now, respect should not be enforced. Respect should come out naturally sa isang pastor na kung saan nagmamahal at nag-aaruga sa kanyang iglesia. See how Paul instructed the church in Thessaloniki sa 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 12 to 13 kung paano nila dapat i-appreciate at pasalamatan at mahalin ang kanilang pastor or elders. Verse 12, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them highly in love because of their work." Crossroads, does this describe your love for your elders? Now, wala pong nabanggit sa passage natin dito that we should be honoring, wala pong nabanggit na dapat natin i-honor, i-appreciate, o pasalamatan ang mga unfaithful or abusive pastors. Mga pastors who manipulate their members. We should not. It says that those who work hard in preaching the word and caring for its members should be honored or respected. So, Pastor Pano, maybe that's your question. How do we tangibly honor our pastors or our elders? Let me give three tangible ways to honor your elders. Ito ay sub-point sa sub-point ng aking first point. First of all, honor them with words. Honor them with words. Maging magalang at mag-ingat po tayo sa pakikipag-usap sa ating mga elders. Lalo na kung tayo po ay may mga disagreements sa kanila. Maging maingat din po tayo on how we are to speak about them sa iba. Maging maingat po tayo how to speak about them towards others privately or itumanay publicly. Walang pastor na hindi nagkakamali. Lahat po ng pastor ay nagkakamali, nagkakasala. Ingatan mag-share kung anumang mga frustrations about them and their leadership. This could cause disunity sa body ni Christ and look that may look unattractive sa mga tagalabas. If meron po tayong mga issues or concerns with our elders, do approach them. Do appeal yung situation or yung case nyo sa kanila. Or if medyo nahihiya tayo o natatakot, approach other elders. Ask them kung pwede kayong samahan to talk to this elder na may concern tayo. Or maybe, talk to your community group leader. Maybe they can help you, direct you, matulungan at samahan kayo sa elder at sa inyong nakikitang concerns. Pero maging maingat po tayo on how we would speak about them privately or publicly. Next, to encourage them, encourage your pastors, encourage your elders. Don't flatter them. Huwag nyo silang bulahin. Okay? Dapat ay specific, helpful, at saka edifying yung mga encouragements. And intentional ang mga ating encouragements sa kanila. Share ninyo kung paano mangusap, kung paano nangungusap ang Diyos o pag kumikilos ang Diyos sa inyong buhay. Share ninyo kung sa teaching and preaching kung paano binuksan ng Panginoon ng inyong mga mata sa mga certain areas about your life that cause you to repent or maybe trust Him more. Share stories on how you fought sin this week. Share sa mga tao na kung saan na-share nyo ng gospel. These provide encouragements sa mga pastors. Another thing that we need to see, way to honor our pastors through our words is by being honest with Him. Open your lives sa inyong mga elders. Open your lives. share with them what's really going on sa life mo. Now, how is this encouraging sa isang elder? Sabihin, may encourage ka, Pastor, pag binuksan namin lahat ng mga problema, lahat ng mga pinagdadaan, hindi ba parang nakakadagdag lang yun sa bigat niyo, Pastor, kaya siguro maaaring hindi ko na lang isha-share? No, it's encouraging because from that point, that is a posture of trust sa amin. That is a posture also of humility. Trusting the Lord, trusting us, and humbling yourselves towards sa ministry ng elders. So open your lives to the pastors. So honor them with words. Number two, honor them by listening to their words. Honor them by listening to their words. Pakinggan natin ang kanilang mga payo, kanilang counsel, ang kanilang encouragements, ang kanilang rebukes. Help them to serve you with joy. Sabi sa Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be no advantage to you. So listen to them. Huwag natin tigasan. Don't harden your hearts, but open your hearts. Third, honor them by financially supporting them. Now, double honor in verse 17 does not mean doble o higit ang kailangan ibigay natin na sweldo o love gift kay pastor, na dapat siya payamanin at maging magarbo ang kanyang lifestyle or extravagant. Yan ang gusto namin, pastor. Yung ba ibig sabihin niyan? Dapat double honor? Dapat magmukhang mayaman si pastor? Hindi po. Kasi, bagamat ito po yung popular na katuruan na nangyayaring sa panahon natin ngayon, na dapat si pastor ay nakikitaan ng abundant o prosperous life. Believing na ito ay ang marka ng isang tunay na faithful na pastor kapag nakikita na siya ay nagiging successful sa kanyang lifestyle. Mga kapatid, ang marka ng isang tunay na faithful na pastor ay hindi increasing wealth and prosperity, but increasing love for God and for His people. That is evident in the way He preaches God's Word, faithfully cares for the church and the lost, and remains faithful in times of hardships or persecution. Yung po ang basihan. Paul mentioned na hindi qualified ang isang individual to be a pastor if he's greedy. Makikita po natin yan sa chapter 3, verse 3, part ng qualifications. Now, hindi naman nangangahulugan na dapat turuan ng church si pastor maging humble at spiritual by making him poor. Yun naman po yung opposite end nun. One is, payamanin si pastor. Yung pangalawa naman, gawin natin magmahirap para mag-humble. Maging ma-humble si pa. Hindi trabaho ng iglesia yung either one of those. Kung ang isang church ay hindi nagsusuporta sa full-time na pastor or kaya naman ay tinitipid ang pastor, kahit kaya ng iglesia maging generous, I can boldly say from Scripture, they are disobeying God. Nagiging disobedient sila. At sabi yun sa verse 18. For the Scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out grain, and the laborer deserves his wage. Ang yung shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out grain ay direct quotation po sa Old Testament, sa Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 4. Paul uses yung farming analogy upang ipaliwanag na dapat ang mga manggagawa ay dapat suportahan ng church sa kanilang labor. Kapag ang isang ox, na ano ba ang ox? Siguro katumbas po sa atin yan na parang kalabaw, a beast of burden, no? Na ginagamit pang farming o pag-aararo. Kapag ang isang ox ay buong araw nagtatrabaho sa pag-harvest ng grain, ay entitled itong animal na ito sa kaunting grain ng kanyang pinagtatrabahuan. Pinapakain ng amo niya sa kanya in order na siya'y tumagal at lumakas. If this is fair sa isang beast of burden, dapat fair din ito sa mga manggagawa ng salita ng Diyos. Ang second quotation naman ay galing kay Jesus at matatagpuan sa Luke chapter 10 verse 7 at Matthew 10 verse 10, where Jesus sends out his disciples by twos. Sinabihan niya ang kanyang mga disciples na huwag magdala ng pagkain, huwag magdala ng baon, magdala ng pera, kasi nga kung saan sila mapunta, doon sila magpo-provide. Sabi sa Luke chapter 10 verse 7, "And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborers deserve his wages. Do not go from house to house. Again, to honor means giving a stipend or allowance or sweldo sa manggagawa. Ang point po ni Paul dito is that the church should financially support ang kanilang pastor in order for him to provide for his family's basic needs and continue serving the church, na hindi niya kailangan alalahanin o madistract sa mga pangangailangan na ito. Alam ko na karamihan sa mga pastors dito sa UAE o sa Middle East ay mga tinatawag na bivocational na pastors, o sila po ay full-time sa kanilang trabaho, secular work, pero at the same time sila rin po yung nag-oversee ng kanilang na mga pinagkatiwala na iglesia. And this is very, very difficult. And I praise God sa sustaining and strengthening grace sa mga kapatid nating ito. Now, naalala ko several bivocational pastors ang nagsabi po sa akin na either ayaw nilang kumuha ng suporta sa kanilang church or ayaw silang suportahan ng kanilang church. Dahil sa reason po ay dahil nagtatrabaho po sila. Hindi na kailangan kumuha ng sweldo. Or they feel guilty kung kukuha sila. If ganun ang case, hindi ho biblical po yun. So I encouraged these brother pastors that they should teach their church how to give to their support, to their pastors who feeds them God's word, who cares for them. Kasi ito nga po ay naaayon sa salita ng Diyos. And in the long term, Lord willing, makayanan nilang suportahan na ang kanilang pastor na hindi na niya kailangan maghanap ng iba pang trabaho. Crossroads currently have 5 pastors or elders. 4 po sa kanila po ay lay pastors, which means po sila po ay nagtatrabaho sa secular na kung saan full-time. And lahat po ng paglilingkod po nila, pagpapastor nila sa Crossroads, ay purely po voluntary. Hindi po sila nakakatanggap ng love gift. This is but a service of love para sa iglesia. And we praise God for such men. Now, isa lang po ang ating full-time na manggagawa na pastor. At yun po ang inyong lingkod. And I'm thankful sa generous giving ninyo by giving sa ating offering. And because of that, we are able to meet yung mga needs ng mga pangangailangan ng manggagawa in order to focus sa gospel ministry sa iglesia na ito. Now, our prayer is na madagdagan pa tayo ng mga full-time pastors. A few weeks back, we have recommended 2 elder candidates na Lord willing na magiging full-time po ng manggagawa. Si Aaron Paul Virafuerte and si David James Brillantes. Now, Lord willing, in a few weeks' time, the church will vote them in as full-time pastors ng iglesia na ito. Nakasama po natin, katuwang po natin. Sa ngayon po, yun po ang ating kalagayan. So continue to give to the Lord kasi it's providing the needs of His people at pangangailangan ng iglesia na ito to advance the gospel dito sa ating bansa. Crossroads provides for their pastor by faithfully giving. And I praise God, if we are to look at yung bulletin ninyo sa ating givings for the past weeks, we praise God for the generous offerings na inyong pinagkakaloob. We are able to catch up or even go beyond sa ating tina-target na offering for this past 3 months. So, maraming salamat po. And we praise God for that. First of all, pastors, church should provide for the faithful pastors. Second, protect faithful pastors. Kailangan ng church protekta ng mga pastors against sa mga false allegations or accusations. At makikita po yan sa verse 19 ng chapter 5. Do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidences of two or three witnesses. This is another quotation na nanggagaling po sa Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. Galing sa kanilang civil law. Isa sa mga provisions ng justice in Israel ay hindi ka pwedeng basta-basta magbigay ng criminal accusations laban sa isang tao. Hindi ka pakikinggan ng judge. Kailangan po at least ng mga credible witnesses para patunayan na totoo nga ba ang allegations ng inyong binibigay. So Paul dito is applying the same principle pagdating po sa mga accusations na maaaring ibintang sa mga elders o sa mga pastors. Tinuturuan ni Paul sa congregation how to handle accusations against elders at kung paano i-discipline ang mga pastors na kung saan who are in sin. Okay? Now, bakit niya ginawa ito? Bakit tinuturo o binibigay ni Paul yung instructions na ito sa iglesia? Kasi ito ang sitwasyon ng ang church in Ephesus. Yung po yung currently na kanilang kalagayan. Ang kanilang kalagayan ay may mga manggagawa sila, mga mangangaral na salita ng Diyos who are accusing falsely mga manggagawa ng Panginoon. Okay? May mga members sila and even leaders who are accusing falsely yung kanilang mga elders. Alam po ninyo, being a pastor ay lagi pong exposed sa public criticism, scrutiny, chismis, and even attacks from others. I think bahagi na rin po 'yon ng pagiging isang manlilingkod ng salita ng Diyos. So dapat lang maging maingat ang mga members sa agarang paniniwala sa mga maaaring marinig o naririnig nila laban sa kanilang mga pastors or elders. Especially kung ang pinanggagalingan ng impormasyon ay may malicious na intent. So be careful. Minsan po mahirap po yun eh. Mahirap po yung hindi maging involved. Mahirap pong hindi makinig. Mahirap pong hindi magbigay ng komento. Dahil ang totoo po niyan, our fallen nature gusto makinig sa ganon. We love to listen to those kinds of allegations or accusations. Lalo na kapag ang binabanggit na nagkikwento ay galing sa isang moral teacher or galing sa pastor or elder na kung saan part of us wanted to know na tila bagay may tinatago kayang kasalanan itong manggagawa na to. O baka naman sila ay nagmamakahipokrito. So, and then nakarinig tayo ng something na balita that tickles our interest. And because of that, we listen and we entertain. Now, why do we do that? Marahil siguro, we feel good about ourselves kapag naririnig natin yun. We feel good about ourselves. We feel justified sa mga nagawa natin kasalanan. Eh, kung si pastor na, di ako pa. And we feel justified. Eh, dapat ho, hindi ganon. Hindi ho dapat ganon. Isang paalala po ito sa atin sa Crossroads. Kung may ma-encounter tayo ng mga accusations laban sa pastors na walang basihan o sapat na ebidensya o parang sabi-sabi lang ng ibang tao, let us be slow to believe. Or even, huwag po natin entertainin ang mga ito. We should be discerning. Dapat meron mga credible witnesses to provide itong information na binibigay. If meron man, then approach that elder. Speak to them. Talk to them. Na paano pastor pag kung totoo? Paano pastor kung parang totoo yung sinasabi ng mga allegations na ito? Well, kaya may verse 20. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all. so that the rest may stand in fear. Hindi ho malabo na maaring totoo rin. Kasi ang mga pastors po ay nagkakasala din. At kung hindi mag-iingat ang pastor, pwede niyang i-abuse ang kanyang office to manipulate and to control in order to get what he wants. Lording instead of leading. Or maaaring pwede siyang maging passive or lazy kung ano man pwede siyang niyang ikabagsak na kasalanan. Kapag napatunayan na guilty ang isang elder or pastor sa isang public or scandalous sin at nagpapatuloy dito, the church must take action. And the church, dyan ho papasok yung church discipline. Ito ang naging issues sa Ephesus sa case muli ni Alexander at saka ni Hymenaeus. They were disciplined. They were excommunicated. So now Paul wants Timothy to protect the church sa mga natirang mga tao pareho ni Alexander at saka ni Hymenaeus. At siguro, siniguro ni Paul na dapat gawin ito ni Timothy sa lahat ng mga guilty at nagpapatuloy sa kasalanan na ito. At ano yung kasalanan na ito? Preaching false doctrine, recommending mga unnecessary diets of for purity and righteousness. False teachers. Look at verse 21. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, and of the elect angels, I charge you to keep these rules without prejudging, doing nothing from partiality. Na kung ang elder po ay guilty sa public sin at nagpapatuloy po sa kasalanan na to, dapat po siyang discipline. Walang elder po ang exempted po dito kapag siya po ay nagkakasala. Kahit ang mga, so, instructions na binigay ni Paul kay Timothy, so, Timothy, gawin mo yan, kagaya ng ginawa kay Hymenaeus at saka kay Alexander. So, which means, kahit na yung mga elderly na elders, mga senior elders, mga pastor na kaka-close mo, mga influential na tao, walang exempted, Timothy, kasama ka ron. If you fail, if you fall, if you continue, if your faith has been derailed at nagpapatuloy sa kasalanan na ito, then this sin, itong public sin na ito, should be publicly rebuked. At para tulungan si Timothy not to play favorites at maramdaman niya yung weight ng command na ito, Paul reminds him sa every act ng church discipline, lahat ng ginagawang act ng church discipline ay sinasagawa rin yan sa harapan ng Diyos. Ama, kay Kristo at sa mga elect na angels. At makikita niyo po yun sa passage yung binasa natin. He takes it to the throne, ika nga. He takes it to the throne of God where God will judge the world according sa strictness ng kanyang standards. Mga kaibigan, ito po yung isang paalaala sa atin that one day, there will be a final judgment. Sa pagbalik ni Kristo, sa first coming niya, He was the suffering servant who came to save sinners. Pero sa kanyang pangalawang pagbalik, He is the dreadful judge where He will be sitting on the throne with His angels at lahat ay haharap sa kanya, will be judged. Walang exemption. This judge is not corrupt, kaya hindi ho masusuhulan. Walang kakilala sa loob ang mga tao para maabsweltohan sila. Sa harap ng isang banal na Diyos, wala tayong mapupuntahan, wala tayong connections, wala tayong matatakbuhan. Pero those who trust Christ are welcome sa kanyang kingdom, and those who rejected the Savior will be eternally banished to a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, which is ang judgment ng Panginoon in hell. A judgment na kung saan na pag nandun na tayo ay wala na tayong pag-asa. Pero mga kaibigan, may pag-asa pa ho tayo. Kung tayo nandito ngayon at buhay pa, ay may pag-asa po tayo. Jesus came to live a life of perfect obedience sa harapan ng Diyos Ama. At siya'y namatay sa krus para sa ating mga kasalanan. Yung kanyang pagkamatay sa krus na bayaran ng lahat. Kaya ang tawag dyan is He paid all of our sins in full. His life, our life for His life. He gave His life for our sins. Kaya siya'y namatay, muling nabuhay, at kung sino mananampalataya, sumampalataya sa Kristo na ito, na nagbigay ng kanyang buhay para sa ating kasalanan, ay magkakaroon po ng buhay na walang hanggan. Those who trusted Christ will have salvation. And so, ang mga elders who committed public sin are to be publicly rebuked. Public rebuke is necessary for unrepentant pastors. Kasi una, this serves as a warning sa lahat sa church. Second, nakasalalay ang pangalan ng Panginoon Jesucristo. So, disciplining elders, unfaithful elders, ay one way for us to protect at maintain yung purity ng gospel sa iglesia. However, public rebuke ay dapat ay yung last resort, even sa mga pastors. As per Matthew 18, dapat po siyang privately confront, kung private ang sin lalo na, pero if he refuses and continues to be unrepentant sa kasalanan na ito, he should be disciplined, even to the point of being excommunicated. Now with that example, Paul now instructs Timothy to be careful sa pag-appoint ng mga elders. After laying down everything about pastors, discipline, honoring, rewarding, ngayon kailangan ganito tayo mag-appoint o pumili ng pastors, which is yung third sub-point. Verse 22, "Don't be hasty in laying on of hands, nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure." Laying hands ay symbolically setting a person apart or ordaining him as an elder for gospel ministry. Now, kung mamadaliin ito, kung maglalagay po tayo ng pastor or elder na hindi qualified o hindi pa ready at nag-crash ang ministry, lumalabas po na tayo ay magiging accountable or even responsible sa nangyaring ito. Kasi naging hasty ho tayo. Dapat hindi magmadali ang church sa paglagay ng isang mama sa office ng eldership. Inaral po natin yung qualifications na ito sa chapter 3. Now, alamin ang kanyang pananiwala, yun ang dapat natin gawin, aralin mabuti ang kanyang tinuturo at ikumpara natin sa salita ng Diyos, kung tama ba ang kanyang doktrina. Is he exemplifying maturity in the faith? Ang doktrina ba niya matches sa kanyang pamumuhay? Is he serving his family well? Does he love Christ and love the church? Yun yung mga ilan sa mga bagay na kailangan natin tignan. Seeing ang mga evidences na ito sometimes takes time. Okay? Kaya a series of training and testing ay kailangan pong mangyari bago po i-recommend. That's why hindi dapat magmadali. Now skip verse 3 at punta kayo sa verse 24 to 25. Sabi dyan, "The sins of some people are conspicuous or obvious, going before them to judgment. But the sins of others appear later. So also good works are conspicuous, and even those who are not cannot remain hidden." Ang sinasabi po ni Paul dito, may mga mama na hindi dapat maging elders because of their obvious sinful lifestyle. Hindi dapat maging pastor yan, hindi dapat maging elder yan. Dahil evident ang kasalanan sa kanyang buhay. While ang iba naman, hindi gaano ka-obvious. and might surface on later. At ganun din naman sa kanyang mga mabubuting gawa. So ang point ni Paul dito, huwag magmadali in appointing elders. It takes time. Be discerning and make sure that these men are truly qualified. That's why we, with much testing and prayer, we have recommended these two men sa mga members ng Crossroads. And Lord willing that we would vote for them as one or as two elders in addition sa five na maglilingkod sa iglesyang ito. Now, sa kalagitnaan nito, sa verse 23, Paul mentions something strange, no? Na parang anlayo sa kanyang flow ng thought or argument. Sabi po dyan, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. Now, hindi natin alam kung bakit umiiwas si Timothy, truly, sa alak, that Paul needed to encourage him na kailangan niyang uminom. Now, maring si Timothy is, one speculation is that si Timothy maring ay nag-a-abstain talaga sa alak for religious reasons. Okay? Dahil po maring nape-pressure siya sa mga false teachers sa chapter 4 who were teaching to live an ascetic lifestyle o kailangan abstaining from a lot of food, naalala niyo yan, from meat, from sex. So, dapat abstain tayo sa umiiwas tayo kasi this will make us pure and righteous. Maari sigurong na-pressure si Paul pagdating sa alak. Sa dapat hindi siya uminom. So kung yun ang reason for purity, Paul said, it's okay. Timothy, it's okay. As long as you give thanks. So Paul's fatherly counsel kay Timothy is to drink a little wine for his health. Kasi nga yung water nung time na yon is polluted and it's causing sa kanyang tiyan. But drinking a little wine will help. So he tries to kill two things. One, yung pagiging ascetic, yung ascetic belief ni Timothy na as long as you give thanks at huwag ka magpakalaseng, okay? And second, it's also good for your health. So kitang-kita natin how fatherly si Paul kay Timothy that he cares for his physical health, and he also cares for his spiritual health. So, now, just to give this out, this does not give us license na magpakalaseng sa alak. The Bible did not teach that we should not drink wine. Although many passages from Scripture, lalo na sa Old Testament to the New Testament, that tells us na kung saan na dapat hindi magpakalaseng, na hindi dapat addictive. Of course, there's a lot of things to consider. You have to consider if it's going to be causing a stumbling block sa kapatiran. So this demands wisdom. Okay? So it's sa part na to, we're not only to honor our elders, but number two and last, we are also to honor our employers. Chapter 6, verses 1 to 2. Let all who are under a yoke as bondservants regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. Those who have believing masters must not be disrespectful on the ground that they are brothers. Rather, they must serve all the better, since those who benefit by their good serves good service. Now, nabanggit ho dito ay slavery, ano? Slavery sa first century Greco-Roman world was the normal working relationship ng mga tao ng time na ito. Ito ang economic arrangement po ng Roman Empire. We do say na maraming injustices po na nasabi dito, maraming accusations na natanggap dito si Paul by others, especially contemporary thinkers, na kung saan si Paul ay nagsusuporta po ng slavery. Hindi po yun yung case. May mga various, kasi yung mga time na po to, may mga iba't ibang klaseng slaves. May mga slaves, may helpers are slaves, builders are slaves, medical professionals are slaves, philosophers, educators, Even slaves have their own slaves. So yun po yung kalakaran ng time na yun. Ang slavery ng tao sa time na ito, God is against. Okay, sa harapan ng Diyos, and even kay Paul, slavery is wrong and it's simple. Kasi an image of God is being controlled by another image bearer. So hindi ho dapat. They should not be enslaved by anyone or by anything. Paul is not for slavery, pero in a fallen world, when in its fallen system, he tries to regulate it. Okay? Sabi niya sa 1 Corinthians 7:10, if he, because of Christ, my freedom, a person who is slave. Paul's third thrust dito is not economic revolution, but spiritual revolution. Sa mga Christians na slave, Paul knows that in Christ, they are free. And those who are masters na nakakilala sa Panginoon, now they become slaves. Slaves of Christ. So nakikita niyo yung parang nagkaroon ng reverse ho dito. Now, we have, meron na silang bagong relationship, hindi lamang sa Panginoon, kung hindi sa bawat isa. Sabi sa Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, for as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So slaves should honor ang kanilang masters, even sila yung mga masasama na masters. Ayon dyan sa verse 1. At ang reasons ay para hindi maging kasiraan sa pangalan ng Panginoon. Of course, there's a time na ang slaves should not do or obey yung sinful demands or pleasures ng isang master. As believers in Christ, they need to stand sa kanilang what they believe is biblically right and pleasing sa harapan ng Diyos, to the point of losing their job or losing their life. Ang reasons para dyan is so that ang maingatan ang pangalan ng Panginoon. It makes Christ look glorious this way. May missional motive po yung thrust ni Paul dito sa passage na ito. This hope that they would, and yung hopes na yung kanilang mga masters would come to a saving knowledge kay Jesus Christ. Friends, possible kaya sa paraan ng pagtatrabaho po natin ay nagiging kasarian sa pangalan ni Jesus? Nagiging kasarian kaya sa pangalan ng Panginoon kung paano tayo magtrabaho dito sa Dubai? Tayo ba'y tamad? Do we spend more time sa pantry kaysa sa workstation natin? Or maybe you spend more time sa workstation mo in your computer, pero nakababad naman sa social media. Or maybe ikaw ang nangunguna sa mga chismisan sa loob ng opisina. Hindi kaya ito ay nagiging kasiraan sa pangalan ng Panginoon. Friends, could it be that God's name is slandered in the way we behave and perform sa work? If I were to ask yung mga kasamahan nyo sa trabaho at sa inyong boss, kung anong klaseng manggagawa ikaw, ano kaya yung unang impression na lalabas sa kanilang mga labi? Si George ay, friends, let us be hard workers. Let us be hard working slaves of Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ. Sabi sa Colossians chapter 3 verse 23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Work heartily. Do it for His glory, lalo na kung pinaglilingkuran mo ay yung kapatiran mo sa Panginoon. Especially kung Christian din ang iyong employers. Sabi ni Sebastian Traeger sa kanyang book na Gospel at Work, and I quote, who you work for is more important than what you do. Our jobs are one of the primary ways God intends to make us more like Jesus.
He uses our work to sanctify us, develop our Christian character, and teach us to love Him more and serve Him better until we join Him on the last day in resting from our labors.
Gamitin po natin ang ating trabaho as a means in order not just na tayo lumago sa ating pananampalataya, kung hindi isang pagkakataon ipakita ko anong klaseng Diyos ang nagbago at sinasamba mo.
We must adorn. Lagi natin sinasabi, make Christ look beautiful sa ating work areas. As a corporate body, let us make Christ look beautiful and satisfying in how we relate to one another and how we honor God-given elders sa iglesia. But also, let us adorn or make Christ look beautiful and satisfying as we honor yung ating mga employers dito sa Dubai. Mahirap man ito. Alam ko, sometimes we feel to the point of even compromising or talking bad against them. Huwag po sana nawa manggaling sa atin ang mga kasaraan laban sa ating mga employers o kasamahan sa trabaho. If we are to speak, let us speak things that would make Christ look beautiful. A gospel-shaped church honors elders and employers for the glory of God's name. Let's pray. Father, thank you for gifting church, our church, ng mga faithful elders. We're thankful, Lord, for saving them, for changing them, and now call them to serve. I pray, Father, that they would continue to honor you by serving well in the area of teaching and preaching your word, counseling your word, encouraging them by your word. So I pray that you would help us to always check our life and doctrine. Would you help us, Lord, to fulfill yung task na pinagkatiwala niyo sa amin. I pray for brothers and sisters right now who are going through a challenging season sa work. A season na kung saan marahil that they would like to just give up or even give in. Help them, Lord. Give them sustaining days. I pray na yung kanilang ang maging overflow ng kanilang heart is to give you honor and glory sa mga words and deeds nila sa looban ng trabaho. That in hopes that one day, Lord, yung kanilang employers or even mga kasamahan sa trabaho or colleagues would ask about Christ. And that you, through this member or this Christian, would share the gospel of hope sa kanila and that you would save them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.